Welcome to Is There Room for Justice? A series of talks on the Palestine-Israel conflict with Dr. Ishmael Zayed.
Today's Palestinian people are calling for a modicum of justice, for without this modicum of justice, there will be no peace for Arab or Jew in the Middle East.
Dr. Zayed was born and grew up in Beit Nuba, Palestine, went to school in Jerusalem, received his medical education at the University of London, and emigrated to Canada in 1972. He is the author of numerous writings, including two books, Palestine, A Stolen Heritage, and Zionism, The Myth and Reality. He is also founding president of the Canada-Palestine Association. In this edition, Dr. Zayed discusses Israeli terrorism.
The subject of terrorism in the Middle East is a favorite subject to media as well as American and Israeli politicians for a long time. This, however, acquired increasing popularity since the horrendous massacres of September 11, where thousands of innocent victims were killed in the attacks in New York and Washington. However, the media's attempt has been, and the politicians' attempts, Mr. Sharon and Mr. Bush, to blame terrorism on the Palestinians and Arabs, and the media bought into this very well. The fact, however, that remains unreported is that the whole subject of terrorism in the Middle East was invented by Israel and its Zionist terrorist gangs going back to the early 40s and since then. The prominent incident, which is well reported, is of course the bombing of the King David Hotel by the Irgun Tzvaili Omi terrorist gang led by Menachem Begin, who later became Prime Minister of Israel. In 1946, the Irgun Tzvaili Omi placed bombs in milk churns in the King David Hotel, killing 91 people, both British Arabs and Jews, in Jerusalem in 1946. This was not a unique incident. Many incidents of the kind directed at the British officials were carried out, hanging soldiers in public places by the terrorist groups. In 1944, Lord Moyne, a British diplomat, was assassinated on the orders of Yitzhak Shamir in Cairo. Yitzhak Shamir was the leader of the Stern terrorist gang and later became Prime Minister of Israel. The acts of terrorism against the Palestinians and Arabs are momentous. I would take pages to describe the various massacres, but the most well-known massacre is the massacre of Deir Yassin on the 9th of April 1948, when again on the orders of Menachem Begin, the Irgun Tzvaili Omi marched into the village of Deir Yassin and massacred virtually its entire population. Reported as approximately 250 people were killed in cold blood, as documented by the International Committee of Red Cross and Israeli historians and authors. But this was not a unique example. In the 1948 war, virtually in every village there was a massacre of Arabs, as documented by Yuri Milstein and other Israeli historians, who reported that massacres were committed in virtually every village occupied in Palestine at the time. Also perhaps worth noting is that the Israeli forms of terrorism were inventive in a variety of ways. For example, the first act of air piracy in the history of civil aviation was committed by Israel in 1954 when a Syrian civilian airliner was hijacked in mid-air and forced to land in the Tel Aviv airport. Despite international criticism and condemnation, and the passengers were held for approximately a week there before they were released. The first, in fact, time in history of civil aviation that a civilian airliner was shot in mid-air was in February 1973 when a Libyan airliner was shot on the direct orders of Golda Meir, the Prime Minister of Israel, killing 107 of its entire passengers and its entire French crew. They were killed by this act, shooting down this civilian airliner. Examples of the inventiveness of the Israel and its leaders in terrorism are numerous. For example, in fact, the first murder by letter bomb was carried out by Yitzhak Shamir's Stern terrorist gang, killing a young British student, Rex Farhan, in May 1948. As I mentioned, in forms of assassination, Lord Moyne was assassinated in Cairo. But the most horrendous example of Israeli terrorism is the assassination of Count Folke Bernadotte, who was a UN mediator. Count Bernadotte is a Swedish man of nobility and honor who has done a tremendous work during the war, in fact, against the Nazis and helping Jews in Sweden. And yet, when he was sent to Palestine in 1948 as a UN mediator, he reported that the Palestinian refugees who've been driven out of their homes must be allowed to return to their homes as a principle of elemental justice. And for making the statement, he was assassinated on the 17th of September 1948 on the orders again of Yitzhak Shamir, the leader of the Stern terrorist gang. These are crimes of massive proportion. And yet, Israeli terrorism, incredibly enough, was not limited only to the Arabs or the British or even the Swedes, but it included even Americans, who were Israel's foremost allies and throughout this time. In 1954, to prevent the improving relation between Egypt and the United States, Israel sent in its agents and bombed the U.S. Diplomatic offices in Cairo and Alexandria, killing a number of innocent people. This is the infamous affair that's called the Lavon affair. It was blamed on Lavon, who was a minister of defense, but in fact it was Ben-Gurion, who was the prime minister at the time, who later was identified as responsible for this. But whoever it was conducted by Israel against American offices, killing Americans so as to blame it on the Egyptians. Later on, incredibly enough, the person who conducted this was awarded medals and honors after death. The attacks against Americans also included the act of terrorism against the USS Liberty ship, which was outside the Sinai in June 1967, and Israel again deliberately attacked Liberty, killing 34 U.S. Mariners and injuring 65, again in an attempt to blame it on the Egyptians. This is an interesting story, of course. To this day, the captain and the officers of the USS Liberty have been calling on for an independent inquiry in the United States, but to no avail. To add to this massive history of terrorism and so on, not only against, as I said, British or Americans and so on, but Israeli terrorism did not spare even Jews. In 1941, on the orders of Menachem Begin, the Irgun Tzvai Leumi bombed a ship, the Patria, 1941, which was in Haifa Airport, bringing Jewish refugees to Palestine. The British authorities were attempting to hold them back and send them back to Cyprus, and in an attempt to blame this on the British, the Irgun Tzvai Leumi bombed the ship and killing 240 Jewish innocent refugees, and again, as I said, in an attempt to blame it on the British authorities. But in fact, later on in 1967, the men who placed the bombs in the ship Patria were awarded medals in Israel. This is a history of Israeli conduct of terrorism, to use it for political gain, is of immense manifestations. including in 1950-51, Yigal Allon sent his agents to Baghdad to pressure Iraqi Jews to emigrate to Israel, who were reluctant to emigrate to Israel. They were happy in their own country. And the bombs were played in the Masouda Shemtov synagogue in Baghdad. Hand grenades were tossed in by the Israeli agents, killing a number of innocent worshippers. And this is, again, a crime of massive proportion. Here, even in a synagogue, innocent worshippers were killed for the purpose of gaining a political advantage or hoping to gain political advantage by blaming it on the Iraqis to force the Iraqi Jews to emigrate to Israel. The stories of terrorism and Israeli terrorism are massive. I mean, the leaders of Israel have all been responsible to a variety of acts of terrorism. Mr. Sharon, in 1953, invaded the village of Kibya and demolished scores of homes on their innocent civilians who were, during their sleep, 65 men, women, and children were killed that night. This is the Kibya massacre. Mr. Sharon's history of committing massacres is of wide proportions, including, of course, the most notorious stories of the massacres of Sabra and Shatila in Beirut in 1982, where approximately 2,000 innocent refugees were massacred in cold blood under the supervision of the Israeli forces by the Lebanese phalangist armed group. In that invasion, anyway, over 20,000 innocent civilians from Lebanese and Palestinians were killed in that war, which was again orchestrated by Mr. Sharon as the Minister of Defense of Israel at the time. And interestingly enough, a Kahan commission in 1983 held Mr. Sharon personally responsible for the Sabra and Shatila massacres, and he was forced to resign from his office as Minister of Defense. Mr. Yitzhak Rabin, who later on became a Nobel laureate, was also responsible for a variety of crimes, war crimes, in Lida and Ramla in 1948. In July 1948, the population were systematically driven out under the orders of Mr. Yitzhak Rabin, as well as the massacre that was committed in the Dahmash Mosque, where about 50 men were bombed in a Dahmash mosque and killed. And then later on, when 40 to 50 young men were brought in to clean the mosque and dig graves to bury the these victims, the very same people who dug the graves were shot in cold blood and buried in the same graves that they themselves dug. These are crimes of massive proportion. Israeli crimes against prisoners of war, 1956 and 1967, are also well documented by the very officers who committed or witnessed these crimes. When Egyptian prisoners of war were shot in cold blood, despite the violation of international law and Geneva Conventions and the Hague Convention and so on. In essence, to sum up, the story of terrorism is a long story clearly associated with the State of Israel. The history of Israeli terrorism is briefly and aptly summed up in the words of Professor Israel Shehak, who's a Holocaust survivor and chairman of the Israeli League for Human and Civil Rights, when he stated, and I quote, "There is nothing new in the fact that Israel is a terrorist state, which almost from its inception has used its intelligence service, the Mossad, to assassinate people on foreign soil with any violence or terror it considers necessary for its ends." The question that people have referred to Palestinian terrorism and so on in relation to the history of the Palestinian struggle against the oppression to which they were subjected by the ethnic cleansing that Israel practiced against the Palestinians, driving them away from their homes and expelling them. On the subject of terrorism, the late Canadian historian Frank Epp, who was the then president of Grable College of the University of Waterloo, wrote, "It is true that terrorist acts have been perpetrated by people identified as Palestinians, But there is another terrorism which is more vicious and brutal, that of dispossession and displacement forced upon the Palestinians. Professor Arnold Toynbee, the noted British historian, stated in 1961 at a lecture at McGill University to a largely Jewish audience, he stated, "The Jewish treatment of the Arabs in 1948 was as morally indefensible as the slaughter by the Nazis of 6 million Jews. The most tragic thing in human life is when people who have suffered impose suffering in their turn." And that's, in these words, Arnold Toynbee sums it up adequately and perfectly, in my opinion, because the Palestinian people have been subjected to these acts of terrorism as well as dispossession. And today's Palestinian people are calling for a modicum of justice, for without this modicum of justice, there will be no peace for Arab or Jew in the Middle East, I'm afraid.
You've been listening to Is There Room for Justice? A series of talks on the Palestine-Israel conflict with Dr. Ismail Zayid. Produced by Pierre Loisel at CKDU-FM in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We can be reached at area code 902-494-2585. Thanks for listening.